Discount houses are piling up sales records all over America. Cut-rate prices and wholesale offers have changed the buying habits of millions of people. I'll be back in a moment to talk about a special discount that is no bargain. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. For several days now, we've been dealing with the law of God and its relationship to the grace of God. We considered the strange idea that some Christians have that the Ten Commandments do not apply to born-again believers. I'd like to continue this subject today. I've heard some people say that the Ten Commandments were for the Jews, surely not for us. Well, friends, if they don't apply to us and only to the Jews, then will it be all right for us to break those commandments? To lie, steal, and so forth? Is that possible? Let's examine the records of the New Testament now. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, obviously, it must be love that inspires us to do it, because only through love will it mean anything. For it says in James 2:10, now please get this, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, friends, did you know that was in the Bible? There it is. He's guilty of all. Then it goes on to quote directly from the Ten Commandments about adultery, killing, and so on. It's no use in just keeping 9 of them and then leave 1 of them undone. Then it says, "The condemnation of death comes upon us if we break His commandments." There are many individuals who will break one of the 10 and say, "Well, I think this one's different. God won't expect so much of me under my particular circumstances." Let me repeat, my friends, that breaking one breaks the law and makes us transgressors in the eyes of heaven. D.L. Moody illustrated it well when he said, "The commandments are just like a chain with 10 links. If you break one link, you've broken the whole chain." Imagine now that I'm working out over a precipice, carving on some project, maybe such as the Great Stone Faces in the Black Hills of the Dakotas. I'm working in a very dangerous position, on a platform, hanging out over a cliff, maybe suspended from a chain with 10 links in it. So I'm chiseling away when all of a sudden I hear a sound at the top. I look up and see my friend sawing away on the chain. And I call out and say, "What are you doing?" And he answers, "Oh, go ahead with your work. Never mind me." "But what are you doing?" I insist. "Go ahead with your work. Keep on chiseling," he answers. "But," I say, "my platform's hanging on that chain. What are you doing to it?" "Oh," he says, "go on with your work. I'm just cutting out one of the links, not all of them." Listen, friends, if he cuts out just one of those links, it's fatal for me. My platform is suspended from that chain. And if he cuts one of the links, where will I go? Down, of course. Now, when an individual breaks one of the Ten Commandments, where will he go? Now, Moody says God's law is like 10 links in a chain. If we break one, we're guilty of all. And it's the same as if we had broken them all. That point is very vital. They're all God's concept of a perfect man written out on tables of stone. Have you noticed what God promises to do under the new covenant? I've heard a good many individuals talking about this new covenant, and it's a wonderful arrangement, but it seems they don't quite grasp all that's involved in it. Because in Hebrews 8:10, we read this, "For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now, did you ever notice what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:3? "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." Now, friends, who wrote the tables of stone? Of course, God did. We found that out in a previous study here on our broadcast. Now, who wants to write that law in your heart? God does, through His Holy Spirit, we're told here in Hebrews. And that's what He says He'll do under the new covenant. So it's the same law, once upon a time written on tables of stone, but now transferred and transcribed on the fleshy tables of the heart. How many of the commandments does He want to write on your heart, friends? All 10, of course. And yet many people say, "Lord, you can just write 9 or 8, but not all 10 of them, please." Have you noticed that people these days are always looking for special discounts? Everybody's looking for a bargain. Some churches even advertise, "Come to us and we'll give you a bargain, 10% off on the 10 commandments. Now I ask you, friends, will that stand in the day of judgment? Suppose some churches, even great churches, make it easy by saying that you don't need to keep all 10. If you keep 9, you'll pass on the day of judgment. I ask you, is that sufficient? Has any church the right to discount the commandments of God 10%? How dare we imagine or presume that we're on that high road to heaven when we knowingly are breaking any one of the commandments of God? It's not a matter of whether I feel saved or not, or whether the church says I'm all right or not. It's a matter of what God says. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Now, I'd be afraid to come up to those gates and say, "Lord, I want to enter in." And God says, "Have you been keeping my commandments?" I'd be afraid, friends, unless I'd been keeping all of them here in this life. And it does say there, under the inspiration of God, "Blessed are they that do His commandments." Now, this doesn't mean that I'm earning my way to heaven or that I can ever deserve it, but it does prove that my love for Him will produce obedience to not 8 or 9, but all 10 of them. Now, somebody else might say, "Well, the Lord's heard my prayers. I've had wonderful experiences of prayer." Just remember Proverbs 28:9. It's a very fearful text. In fact, I don't even like to quote it. I always read it so you'll not say that I've said something wrong. But here's what God inspired in that text. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." And then I think of another text in 1 John 3:22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So you see, the blessings of heaven are conditional upon obedience. Paul says some very good things about the law of God. In Romans 7:12, he says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." And then in verse 7, he says, "I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." You see, friends, if there were no law, you couldn't sin. For where no law is, of course, there's no transgression, according to Romans 4:15. So when people tell you that the law was abolished at the cross, that's the same as saying that since the cross, there's been no sin. I've seen one or two sinners, haven't you? There has been sin since the cross. Sin is a transgression of the law. Now, there's the test. It's obedience, friends, to the commandments, and the commandments are holy, just, and good. Oh, I think we ought to keep the law of God if it's holy, just, and good. Let's examine those 10 commandments for just a moment. How many of you at some time in your life learned those 10 commandments by heart? But now, how many people are doing it? How many children have learned those commandments? You don't even see them hanging up in front of the churches anymore. At one time, even Sunday school children had to memorize them, but you don't hear about that anymore. The first 4 commandments tell about our obligation to God. Have no other gods, no idols, don't take His name in vain, and keep the Sabbath holy. The last 6 commandments have to do with my neighbor. Honor father and mother, don't steal, kill, lie, or commit adultery, and don't covet. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I want to ask you a question, friends. Is it not just as wrong to break one part of that law as the other part? You know, there are people in this world who don't mind a bit breaking God's holy Sabbath. And that has to do with our duty to God. But they think it's awful to steal chickens from their neighbor. Let me give you another illustration, for this is very, very vital. What about the individual who does steal chickens? We've had people in the listening audience, I'm sure, who have stolen or maybe have even killed somebody. But suppose an individual makes his living by stealing chickens. He tells us that he supports his family that way. Then one day he hears a sermon on the 10 commandments. I go visit that man, and I say to him, "Brother, have you thought of keeping the commandments of God?" And he says, "Well, I'm really giving thought to it." "Well, are you keeping God's commandments now?" I ask. "Oh, yes," he states, "all except just one." "Which one?" I ask. "Well," he admits, "thou shalt not steal." "You steal?" Yes, I support my family by stealing chickens." "Well," I say, "don't you think you ought to give this up?" And he replies, "I've thought about it. And if I get a better job, I'm going to do that very thing. I'll give that up if the Lord really will help me get another job somewhere. Of course, I'll have to keep up my chicken stealing until then, because a man who doesn't support his family, you know, is worse than a heathen." So that man keeps on stealing chickens until the Lord helps him get a better job. What do you think of a man like that? Well, I say this, God isn't going to bless a man very much who deliberately keeps on disobeying and transgressing the law after he knows it's wrong to do that. Somebody says, but I've been breaking God's commandments for 40 years. Well, that's all the more reason an individual ought to change quickly and make up as much as he can for all that disobedience of the past. Don't ever forget what it says in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now this is a solemn text indeed. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, when we keep on breaking God's commandments after the light comes to us, then Jesus' blood will no longer atone for our sins. There's no sacrifice in all God's universe to cover known, deliberate transgression. There's only one way for us to be saved, and that is to come back to the fount of blood, to Jesus Christ, climb up Calvary's hill, bow before the cross, and have those past sins washed away. Friends, do you understand now what I'm trying to say to you about law and grace? Do you understand how the law is God's will and grace is the power to do God's will? Do you see that the law is the root and obedience is the fruit of your love for Jesus? It's so important for us to understand the distinction between law and grace and to understand how important works are in the context of our love and our loyalty to Him. Well, that's a wonderful story for us to close on today, friends, having our sins forgiven by the grace of Jesus. Of course, we don't earn it by all these works of the law that we've been talking about. In fact, it's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so because we love him for the great salvation he's given to us, we will walk in obedience as a spontaneous response of our own heart to that love and forgiveness which he's bestowed upon us. Forgiveness comes freely as a gift, but after we're saved by grace, we should keep the commandments of God to show how much we love Him. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.